let's review yesterday's class, just to get a handle, because I want to move forward today into the details of it. So the topic is Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, remember? And we started by looking at the pasuk of V'hafta L'recha Kamocha. You have to love your neighbor like you love yourself. And Rabbi Kiva said, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, okay, which Rashi quotes on the pasuk. So he said yesterday, well, what's the Klal Gadol? Why is this considered Klal Gadol? Why are other mitzvot not greater klals in Jewish thought? And one of the ways you start to look at it was, well, maybe this particular mitzvah has so many different applications and so many different ways of expressing itself, which aren't detailed in the Torah, actually that maybe all the other mitzvot can somehow fit into this idea of V'hafta L'recha Kamocha, of loving each other like you love yourself. And we spoke about Ahava, and we said, what's Ahava? How do you love someone? And we said, if you give to someone, you love them. Okay, so the act of giving somebody something will generate a love. Then we defined a Reya, people close to you. And then we said Kamocha. Kamocha, we said, remember, like you love yourself. So we said you have to use yourself as the way to know how to treat others. Okay? You like it when people are nice to you, then be nice to people. You like it when people speak well of you, then speak well of other people. You like it when people visit you when you're sick, sometimes. Right? We'll see how to do that mitzvah. Not so simple, by the way. Right, so you'll do the same for other people, and the opposite works as well. You don't like when people are nasty to you, so don't be nasty to other people. You don't like it when people are rude to you. You don't like it when people don't visit you, don't call you back, judge you unfavorably, on and on and on. So you do the same thing. So we see so much of Torah and Judaism, self-worth is based upon this. So the kamocha part is, now Rashi is going to say later on, that the kamocha also means that you have to have good self-esteem. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. If you think you're garbage, then everyone else is going to be garbage, right? People who are like miserable the whole time. You know those people always miserable all the time? You know those people? Right? Everyone's got people like that. You may work with them or friends of yours. So those people, it's hard for them to love others because they can't love themselves. They have no barometer. There's no self-worth. How can they love other people? So Rashi's going to say, actually, this is the mitzvah for good self-esteem. That's why it's V'hafta L'recha Kamocha, love your neighbor like you love yourself, rather than just V'hafta everybody. Right? Which would be actually pretty ridiculous, really, wouldn't it? Just walk around the streets of Manhattan, just hugging random people, you know? Ugh. Yikes. So then we looked at a Rambam, and the Rambam gave us various mitzvot on a rabbinic level, he said, but are based upon the Torah. Okay, they fit themselves to the Pasuk, and the Rambam in Hilchot Avelut speaks about Bikur Cholim, to visit the Avelim people who are mourning, thank you, Lotzi Amet. We said a great mitzvah is to escort the dead, Lahachnis Akala, right? Achnosuskala, right? I'll tell you the Kotel you have here, Achnosuskala, right? That's a great mitzvah. And to escort guests, and we're going to see how you do that. It's going to be the next chapter, how to make sure the guests go safely. And he says, oh, those are okay, fine. Then at the bottom, he looks at the pasuk that says, you have to do what is Yashar Vatov B'nei Hashem. That's a pasuk in Devarim. Vav. Yudches. You have to do what's good. So he said, we didn't do what's good. So then we look to the Ramban, the next page. This Ramban was a very important Ramban. And he says, you know, the Torah's got so much going on in it, but it can't talk about every situation. So there's this pasuk, which we just looked at, which is do what is good and is straight with his eyes. And that pasuk, says the Ramban, is to do what? To make people do the right thing, even when they're not told to. Like, the Torah doesn't come along and tell you every single aspect. It's not a medical textbook. It's going to show you everything. At some point in Judaism, you've got to use the 11th the 11th commandment, which is, that's right, use your seichel. Use your seichel. I don't know. You don't know? Then ask. You don't ask, you're not going to know. And if you've got no one to ask, think about it. Right? You have to think about it. Then we said there's this another mitzvah. That was yesterday. Then we said another mitzvah, which is about emulating God, being like God. So what do we see that? Then we looked at the story of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu just had the Brit Milah. And then he was sitting at the entrance of his tent, and guests came to him. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him at that time. We said, why is Hashem appearing to him? Punkt. Which means exactly then. Why is Hashem come? Vayira alav Hashem be'elonim mamre. He just has this circumcision. And Hashem visits him. We say because Hashem was actually visiting the sick. Oh, one second. we now have an attribute of HaKadosh Baruch, of God. Hashem visits the sick, and we have to be like God. Hashem visits the sick, we visit the sick. All right, that was on page 25. And actually, Rashi says very interestingly, he doesn't just visit him, and this is going to be an important part of the mitzvah, by the way, look at this, Rashi. So it says, Am Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Yom Shlishi Lemilaso. It was the third day after his bris mila, which, by the way, is maybe the third, is the hardest time after an operation. First couple of days, you're, I don't know, the adrenaline is still going or something. After that point, it becomes more painful. Uvakarish Baruch Hu, and Hashem came, Lishol B'Shlomo, to see how he was doing. Interesting language. Interesting. It doesn't just say he came to visit him. And we're going to see actually part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim when we go into the details, which we'll do, God willing, soon, is to see how people, they don't just turn up, hey, how you doing? Very good. Okay, what's on TV? Right? It's not, no, it ain't like that. You've got to actually see how they're doing. Do they need stuff? Do they need their stuff clean? Do they need food? You know? And I, by the way, performed this mitzvah absolutely terribly about a year ago. A good friend of mine, I'll tell you the story. You can learn from my mistake. A friend of mine, he's okay now, thank God, had a heart attack. Young guy, he was 41, 42. Talk about doing the mitzvah the wrong way. So he has a heart attack. So I go to visit him. I actually had 9 heart attacks, little mini ones, boop, 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 one after the other, yeah. It was on Shabbos. He was actually staying in someone's house, and they said, do you feel okay? He goes, yeah, I won't go to shul, nothing so good. So my friend just didn't trust him. So he called Hatzalah. Hatzalah guy came straight away. He wasn't going. The guy was like, no, I'm fine, just go, I'll be fine. I told the guy, lucky you called us. He just had like 9 heart attacks. It's like crazy. So they schlepped him down the stairs to the hospital, and the whole thing, they treated him. So they put a stent in him, the whole, you know, whole procedure now, thank God. And they fixed him up. So I went to visit him in hospital. Right? Bikur Cholim. So I said, what does this guy need? You know what he needs? He needs a book. So I bought him a nice, good Jewish book on faith in God. And he's lying in the hospital with tubes everywhere, you know, talking, you know, but, and I give him a book. He looks at me, he's like, thanks, just what I needed, a book to read. And my friend who came with me, a rabbi, whose actually father is a professor here at Stern, he brought food in like an airplane meal with different sections to it, you see. And it was all cut up, ready for him. And he, like, grabbed that. You know, he said, the food here is absolutely, you know, it was terrible. Hospital food, unfortunately. Wait, whatever. So it wasn't so good. So he's, and afterwards, he's like, what am I going to do with the book? It's like, this was great. I got to eat, and it was all nicely cut up for me. I didn't have to do it. And I had a first good meal after my heart attack. Now, I did a mitzvah, but I didn't do it well. He's had a heart, he doesn't want a book. He wants to eat something good. You're like, oh, you know what? I'm a rabbi. I'll go visit him. I'll bring him a book. What do you eat the pages? Now, the guy wants to eat something. So that was not a mitzvah done well. It was still a mitzvah, but my friend put some thought into it, and he gets more of what he did, a better mitzvah.
I don't know what you did. He has self-standards.
What?
It wasn't what you did. Like, how are you supposed to know that someone doesn't want a book?
I should have put some thought. I didn't put any thought into it.
I would think
a nice thing to do. You think it's a good thing to do? Okay. Like, he's a very close friend of mine. He's like, I don't appreciate this. What are you crazy? Bring me a book for? Okay, maybe some people who are bookaholics. Maybe I should have brought a book and some food. I don't know.
You didn't have to bring anything. You could have just gone.
Well, you know what? You don't just bring gifts because you're like visiting someone like at their home, but you want to see if they need stuff. He needed a good meal. Didn't think about it. I learned my lesson. I did a good thing. We're good friends. He wasn't, you know, wasn't upset with me. He keeps reminding me, yeah, thanks for that book. Still haven't read it. He's not a big reader, actually, thinking about it now. I don't know what I was doing. He's not exactly a real bookie. Okay, fine. So that's the idea. So how do we follow Hashem? That's the idea. That's the mitzvah. The Talmud says, to follow. How do we follow HaKadosh Baruch? How do we follow Hashem? We can't follow Hashem. Hashem is, you know. And the answer is that we follow His ways. We try to be like God. So how do you be like God? So we see various things that God does, for example, to the sick, and we try to do the same, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Okay? That's how you become like God. Like, literally. You know? It's a very good idea. All right. So turn over. So someone mentioned yesterday a very good question. I want to look at one piece over here based upon a recent tshuva on this. When we do, this is going to apply to all of Beit Amlach Avera. When you do mitzvah for other people, it begins to feel, I think someone mentioned this yesterday, that you're just doing it for brownie points. You know what I'm talking about? You're just doing it because it's a mitzvah. Now, that is not a nice way to do it. It's true. It is a mitzvah. That means it's your spiritual obligation, and it's good for your neshama, and gets you olam haba. But that can't be your motivation. There's a famous story, I don't remember who it happened to. There's one of these stories I heard in yeshiva many years ago, of someone went to a great tzaddik, and went to visit him for something, and the great tzaddik gave him some musa, gave him a little, and said, I'm not your esrog. What does that mean, I'm not your esrog? I'm not just here for you to fulfill a mitzvah, just pick me up and shake me. You know, I'm not literally, but you get the idea. In other words, you've got to put in, although this is your obligation, you've got to put in an element of, it's the right thing to do. Look inside, you'll see what I mean. It's page 27, right? It says note 2 at the top, Rabbi Reuven Luchter, correspondence of Rav Moshe Shapira. So what's the idea over here? And how's the love component fallen? And he says, Agisha Nachonahi, what is the right way to do this? Shehochel Levikol Chol, a person goes to visit the sick, Benosim Es Ha, why am I doing it? Because I want people to feel that I'm doing it. What's my chush? That I do it because I love you. That's what a person should feel. I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to do it. And I may not even want to be there. Visiting the sick is actually, it's not a pleasant thing. It's just not nice. They're sick. They're miserable. Right? They've got germs coming out of them. I mean, it's just not a very, very pleasurable experience. So I'm doing it because I do care for them, but I'm doing it because it's a mitzvah. And he's like, no, you're meant to give the person the impression that you do, and you do care for them. As if you wouldn't be there. There's plenty of sick people I could have visited. But the mitzvah is, and now we're talking about the way you do it, the mitzvah is to do it in some way that they should feel that they're involved in their lives. Right? He goes, okay, I'm here. Mitzvah, check, like a little checklist, check. Like, no. No, that's not the way to do it. You've got to feel for people. That's the way to do it. That's going to apply for anything, by the way. Any other time you do a favor for someone else, right, you should have them in mind. Does that make sense? I think naturally most normal people do. Most normal people do. So it can't just be your sole motivation is Hashem told me to do it. Hashem told me to do it because it's a good thing to do, but Hashem as well says, V'yahafarechamocha, you should do it out of love. Don't do it mechanically. Okay, I'm here, I've done my job, bye-bye. You hear? It's not like rapping to fill in. You know what I'm saying? It's a different mitzvah. My point is, we looked at last semester, mitzvah in us and Hashem, and the motivation is I'm doing it because I want to come close to Hashem. I want to do the right thing. Or I don't do the wrong thing. Now we're saying, no, this is a different realm of mitzvot. Now we're trying to connect to each other. Okay, does that make sense? Is that fair? Okay. That's what I want to finish with yesterday. So let's turn over. And let's see the importance of this actual mitzvah of visiting the sick. And let's see what happens, why we should do it. Why does Hashem do it? So why do we have to do it? So we'll begin, as we always do, with a Mishnah from Pirkei Avot. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, 3:17, says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Im ein Torah, ein derech eretz. If a person does not study Torah, they cannot have Derech Eretz. Im ein Derech Eretz, and if a person has not got proper conduct, ein Torah, there is no Torah. Okay, we're in section 2, the importance of visiting the sick. That's the top of the page. That's the Mishnah. Number one. Everyone see it? Who's got the books? Turn over. You got it. Yeah, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the famous Mishnah which is quoted many ways by many, many commentators. I just brought down two. The Machzor Vitri and Kahati. One of the famous modern-day interpretations. What's the idea of Torah Derech Eretz? They always say, Torah Derech Eretz. What is that? It says in Machzor Vitri, V'im ein Derech Eretz ein Torah. If you don't have Derech Eretz, you haven't got Torah. What's Derech Eretz mean, by the way? We always tell children, have Derech Eretz. What are we saying to our kids when we say that? Well, we should say that. What's Derech Eretz?
Behave.
Be nice. It applies to children, but it also applies to adults. Because adults are just big children. As you're beginning to... Isn't that a frightening realization? When you start to like get older, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm still a child, but I'm just like an adult now. Oh, it's frightening thoughts. Right? And when you have kids, you're like, I do not know what I'm doing. I'm still a child, but I have to pretend that I'm an adult. Okay. There's something to that, by the way. It's not a bad thing to do. I'm giving you a heads up, by the way. Your mind, you think your mind changes? Your body changes, my mind changes. No, your mind actually stays exactly the same. There's more information in there, but you actually stay exactly the same. Right? You just have to behave yourself a little bit more. Okay? What? It is very scary. It is absolutely scary. You don't worry, you'll stay a baby forever. Don't worry about that. Some people just cover it better than others. Everyone's a child. I wouldn't worry about it. Just the toys change. You know, the toys change. When you're a little boy, you have little cars. You're a big boy, you have big cars. When you're a little girl, you have little dolls. When you're a big girl, you have big dolls. You put a little pocketbook on there. And they have real pocketbooks, that's all. Right, little shoes on the Barbie doll. And they have shoes on your feet, that's all. You just change size. But we also have Derech Eretz as well, okay? Says the Machzor Vitri, what does that mean if there's no Derech Eretz, there's no Torah? And he says, She'im ein tarbut la'adam, if a person doesn't have tarbut, a civilized nature, right? A nice cultured way, l'neheg kashur, to act in a nice way. Ein toraso me'elas lo klum. The Torah you study is not going to help you. It's not going to help you. He says you've got to be nice and act in a respectful way. And you won't hold on to it. So he's actually linking the two together. This is very, very important. I can't stress this enough. And we mentioned this last semester, I'll say it again. Torah is not an academic study. It's a very important idea. I heard from my teachers right through my chat, and I must. It's not. It's a spiritual pursuit. It takes on academic guise, especially when you study Talmud, you know, and laws of damages, and you get to areas of Jewish law where it's just very unspiritual. It's all about damages and money and property. It's not an academic financial pursuit. It is a spiritual pursuit. You're trying to understand God's desire from you, how you act, how you spend your money, how you give charity, how you treat a person's property. That's what you're studying. But it's a spiritual pursuit. So much so that if a person isn't a respectable spiritual person and just a nice individual, the Torah doesn't have effect. The two go, Derech Eretz go in, that's what the Mishnah is saying, according to the Machzor Vitri. The Torah and Derech Eretz go together. That means you can have a person who is extremely smart, knows a vast amount of information, is a walking Jewish Wikipedia, Jewikipedia, if that thing exists, right? And yet, is not doing what they're meant to be doing. It's, in other words, it's academic. It's possible to have acquired a vast amount of Torah knowledge and still not be a nice person. And so, they're not doing what they're meant to be doing. We're not really impressed by people who have just lots of information, who managed to memorize the entire Talmud. You know? It's not really... It's not so impressive. I'm like, okay. I mean, my computer does that. So it's not just information. And I think this applies to secular studies as well. You know, I remember when I went to a, I guess it was called a non-Jewish university in England, a very, you know, prestigious university. And most of my teachers were very, very nice people. But one teacher was very, very brilliant, who was just very, very mean and nasty. And I always had trouble with that. Like, if he's so smart, why is he such a nasty individual? And the answer is that the two are mutually exclusive. You can have a person who's very, very smart, and yet just really nasty. It's not... And the same applies for Torah. You have someone who knows a vast amount of information, of Torah knowledge, and yet doesn't act nicely at all, doesn't treat people respectfully, doesn't treat their wives, their children. Okay, we all lose it sometimes. You're not meant to be an angel. I'm not saying be an angel. That's obvious, right? We all mess up all the time. But in essence, we want to be nice, no? I mean, don't we? That wasn't rhetorical. I'll pick it up. We want to do the right thing. So that's Machzor Vitri. He's saying eventually, actually, even the Torah will go. Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. So he's learning out literally. If there's no derech eretz, this person hasn't even got Torah. Your question is, this is a Jewish basics class. They should have learned this already. So the funny thing is, maybe they never learned it. It could be. They never learned this idea. Maybe they learned it, and for them it's just information. It could be. And maybe we all mess up, and they mess up all the time. You know, a person can know, for example, that smoking is bad, yet still smoke. You know? It could be. It could be. But it's a great shame. It's a really great shame. And I'm not making this up. That's why I bring down the sources for you, so you can actually see what it says itself. Yeah.
Isn't, like, the Torah, like, all, like, it's made up of guidelines that teach you how to be a better person?
Yeah. And the Torah is full of guidelines that make you become a better person. That's correct.
Yeah. So if someone's a scholar and knows all of these things, isn't it kind of hypocritical, like, that they don't practice the Greek?
So it is, yeah, and the answer is, I mean, I said this last time, I'll say it again, and I heard this from my teacher, and I don't like this expression, but I say it anyway, you know, because people like one-liners. Don't judge Judaism by the Jews. Actually, you're meant to, by the way. That's why I don't like it. You're meant to see Jews, that's meant to represent Judaism and God. But in essence, unfortunately, it's a great misrepresentation. But there are some very great Jewish people you can look at and judge Judaism by those Jews. You've just got to find the right ones. But yeah, listen, we all make mistakes. No one's perfect, you know, and people hold religious people and rabbis and remnants to a very, very high standard, sometimes unfairly, because we're all human. We all mess up. But in essence, what am I going for? Look, we've seen a definite rash of this, unfortunately, we hear it all the time, even just this morning on the way here. On the radio, I drive to the bus every morning, so I have the radio on just to, you know. It's just a 5-10 minute ride, you know. And, you know, hear the stories about these rabbi who, you know, act very inappropriately. Just this morning, I promise you, I'm not making it up, you know. And I'm like, oh. By the way, it's the worst Chil Hashem. It is the worst. It does not get worse than that. So what happened to all these teachings? I don't know. Ask him. But he's not doing right, you know. And then the business. We all hear stories of Jewish people, you know, get involved in business and do terrible things with their business, you know, when it comes to money. And money's a big motivator. It's tough. Big Yetzirah. Really, really difficult. For everyone. For everyone. It's a great shame. I hear you. Let's see the next source and try to figure this out. It says Gehati. Im ein derech eretz, misha eino bal midos. Now, we spoke about midos before. Midos, we said, comes to the word mida, which means a measure. How do you measure a person? By their character. Misha eino bal midos tovos. A person is not a bal midos tovos. Ve'en noheg yafa im abri. And doesn't act nicely to people. All people. All people. Ein Torah. Ein erech torasso. And this person, sense, this person lacks Torah. Be like, they know so much. They studied for years. They're still, they haven't inculcated it. It remained on the outside. It has no value, he says. Ein erech l'torasko. Ein erech means there's no value to their Torah. Shekein Torah mitchaleset v'nimeset al yado. This Torah actually degrades, right? It becomes horrible, right, in their hands. They're actually destroying it. Okay. So that's a good way to begin the next part. Okay, let's see a nice way that we should be living. Says the Gemara, in the Darim, Rabbi Chalbo Chalash. Rabbi Chalbo became very sick. Okay, look at this amazing Gemara. You got to read this. So Rav Kahana went out and said, Rabbi Chalbo Chole Chalash, he's got sick. He went out and made a big thing about it, right? I mean, didn't have, email in those days. You know, say Rafu Shlema, they didn't have, you know, TV, what else? You know, this was how do they know someone was sick? Someone went out and announced it in the streets, right? But no one came to visit. No one came to visit. He was all by himself. No one came to fulfill this mitzvah. Rav Kahana said after this incident, "Loi kachaya mase b'talmud echad b'talmud Rabbi Kiva shachala." Didn't the following incident actually happen with Rabbi Akiva, that one of his students became sick. The Nichnas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva went to visit him, but the sages did not. Rabbi Akiva himself came, he swept, he mopped the floor, says the Gemara, and he lived. And he actually turned around to him and said, Amalei, Rebbe, Chaisani, you saved my life. You gave me life. And then Rabbi Akiva, based upon that, went out and taught, Kol Mishe'eino Mevaker Cholim, Ki'ilu Shofech Damim. Whoever does not visit the sick, it's as though you've killed someone. That's very strong, isn't it? Very strong. Why would that be? Why would that be? Why would Rabbi Akiva make such a broad statement? And if he said it, we assume he meant it. To some degree, you're killing that person by not visiting them. No, I just didn't do it for positive mitzvah. I didn't visit the sick. Visiting the sick is positive mitzvah. He's like, no, but if you did visit the sick, actually, maybe you're liable a little bit for their demise or for their sickness. Why would that be? Let's have a look. Says the Maharal, Afilu im yeshlo kama bnei adam shehem mitaskim im achole ve'en tzerech alav. Even if a patient has many people to take care of their needs, they got doctors, they got nurses, they got family, they got friends. Sof, efshash al yodo haya achios shel chole. Still possible that you could do something unique when you visit that person who's sick. Vahu eino, or you said, if you don't do it, lekach kilu shel chotamim. That's what it means. In other words, you're not going to save the person's life, but maybe your presence with that person could actually help them become a little bit better. Okay? So what does a person have to do? Let's turn over the page. Section 3. So there's four essential parts to this mitzvah. Okay? Bikur cholim, we're going to break it down to four things you have to do. Number one. Asiyas kol tzorchav. Take care of all the patient's physical needs. Okay? Whatever they need. Do they need food, drink, clothing, help, make phone calls, go shopping for them. That's number one. You don't just walk in there, hi, bye. Do you need anything? Two, shiyimsa nachal ruach imchavero, mishtafim batzaro. Improve the patient's mood. Don't sit there complaining about your life. Oh, you think you got it bad lying here recovering. Now my life is much worse. No. It ain't about you. It's about them. You're not there to like complain about. Three, and this is actually a very important part of the mitzvah, maybe the most important, and actually we're going to see halachic principles based upon this. You have to pray for their recovery. You got to daven for them, and no better place to do it than in front of them. Give them a bracha. Hashem should make you better. Rufo shalema. I wish you well. Now, say a perek of Tehillim, for example. That's what actually meant to do, which is why some people say that fulfilling this mitzvah over the telephone, we're going to see some say you can do over the telephone, some say no, because when you speak to someone on the telephone, you can't see how bad they are. When you see them, you see how bad they are, you'll pray harder for them. So we're going to see opinions that say you've actually got to be there to fit that. Calling them tonight, if you can't visit, they're in Australia, and you can't visit. Right? You got work, you got a job, you can't visit. But, and therefore the phone will be good. But if you can visit and you said, you know, I'll phone them instead, that's not as good. Because one of the reasons you're meant to pray, and when you talk someone to the phone, they're like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm all right, I'm getting better. They'll always stand there okay. And you won't really. But if you see them lying there, like, you know, with like drool coming out of their mouths, like looking horrible with bloodshot eyes, you're like, ooh, pfft. Right? You're like, okay, this person needs a bracha. You're going to pray for them. So actually seeing them will actually make you, and prayer works. That's the basic premise, as we discussed last semester. Prayer works. And finally, and very famously, we come to the average, or the fraction, I should say. And that is when you visit a person, you take away a 60th of their sickness. When you visit a sick person, right? 1 over 60, shishim, achad b'shishim, is removed from them. So when I heard this, I was like, well, if I visit them 60 times, they're going to get better, right? So it's a 60th of every time you go visit, was the answer I got. But you know what? When a person's very sick, any form of improvement's improvement. I don't really know what that means. But whatever it means, it's a good thing. And by visiting them, and now there's a lot of studies, by the way. Same time, I don't think it works. I don't know if it works. But whatever it does, it takes an edge off. How they feel, man, a cure that makes them feel better. There's a lot of study in this right now, by the way. People are obsessed with this, with the importance of a good environment. Like, hospitals used to be very, very sterile places. Weren't very enjoyable to visit, you know? And now they're a lot more, you know, there's the pictures and everything, and people visit, and they make it lighter, and they... And this idea of... there's actually a guy called Norman Cousins, interestingly enough. A guy called Norman Cousins was a Jewish guy, by the way. He was a journalist, political activist, and he had terrible arthritis. This is this amazing story. Very painful arthritis. And people used to visit him and bring him, you know, different things and books. And then one of his friends came and brought him a video of the Marx Brothers. You know the Marx Brothers? You know the Marx Brothers? They're comedians, you know, Jewish guys from the 40s, 50s, 60s, wherever they were, you know? I used to love them, by the way. There was four guys, you know, there was Groucho, Harpo, Chico, Carl. Okay, it's a joke. Okay, so he put on this video, and he wrote about this, and he found that he felt much better after the video. So he put it on again. And then his friend brought him another one, and then another one. And he found the more, and he got obsessed with this idea that humor and comedy and laughter helps a person feel better. So much so that he actually founded a research institute, I think it's part of UCLA, and he wrote about it, of how humor and laughter and people cheering up actually makes people feel better. It's actually a form of refuah, form of healing. And there's a lot of other doctors who sort of follow this whole thing, and they have these like clowns in hospitals. But it didn't used to be like that. They were very miserable places. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, 32 years ago, I had my tonsils out. You know, it was a very miserable experience, you know. It was, you know, you're there for a few days, and, you know, nurses there. It's very, now you go there, and there are people running around and laughing, playing guitar, you know. It's much happier, what it's meant to be. So they found there's actually a refuah aspect to this. So this is the idea of when you go there, your job is there to help them feel better. Tell them jokes, laugh a little bit, you know, not at their expense, obviously. But, okay, let's break down these four. How do we fulfill this mitzvah? Let's see the halacha. There's halachas of kosher, there's halachas of tefillin, halachas of Shabbos, there's halachot of b'gacholim. Okay? So first of all, care for the physical needs. And we saw Rabbi Akiva, by the way, what did he do? And the Gemara says he went and he swept the floor. So what's the care? Because the person wants, if everything's dirty around them, they'll feel not good. So, you know, tidy up a little bit. Right? So the Pirush HaRosh in the Dorim says, based upon this Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, a person visits the sick, right? Take care of their needs. Okay? And they should sweep the floor. And today's mitzvah is you call a doctor, get medicine, shop, clean, bring food, make phone calls on their behalf. There's a list as long as a Megillah of stuff you can do. Okay? So that's number one. Tone over. So we said number two is patient's mood and peace of mind. Okay? So you see that a person should talk to them, laugh with them, and that's the Ramban. The Ramban says in Torah Ta'adam that v'yimsa nachal ruach im chaverav. People feel better, you know, when people visit them. You know? I went to Queens, one of my close friends' father passed away. So I went to Queens, you know, it was difficult to schlep middle of the day. It wasn't easy. But he was an avel. He was a mourner. Okay, well, not like this, but whatever. But he was down, you know, he lost his father. So I went to visit him, and I was there for him, you know, with like an hour, so I'm talking and schmoozing, you know, where he was doing most of talking, you know, but then, you know, we're very close. I was schmoozing, schmoozing. And he said at the end, he says, oh, you being here brought me such a nechama. Very nice. He says, you being here, because I was the only one there, it was the middle of the day, no one was there. It was the only time I could visit, you know. But he said, yeah, and it just brought me so much nechama, brought me so much comfort, thank you. Comfort, you know. Now, we're going to see actually the way to visit the Avelim is very, very different. When you visit a person who's mourning, it's not so simple. You're actually not going to sit there schmoozing, kibitzing, unless they want to. It's very, very different. But the idea is all the same. You visit them, and you're there for them, you know? So the Maharal says something very interesting. He says, why do you visit the sick? Because you improve the person's mood, yeah? And it's the manner of people and friends to go visit each other. So actually, by visiting him, he realizes that he's got friends. It makes you feel better, right? Makes you feel better. And you're there to help this person with all their burdens. Okay? Next, prayer. So why prayer? Okay. So there's a special mitzvah to visit the sick, says the Gemara. And if one fails to, they could be obligated in their demise. But he says when you do, you should not visit the sick without giving some kind of prayer on behalf of that person. Now that concept applies in any situation, any time, but specifically a person who's not well. Yeah? You should try to put yourself in their position, says the Ramban, and try to say, well, if I was sick, I want someone to pray for me. And praying for a person in front of them, I believe, is a higher level of prayer, by the way. I believe in that situation, if I remember correctly, you don't even have to mention their name. Right? When you pray for someone, you always like mention the name, right? The name of the person, Ben or Bat, their mother. I always use the mother's name for a sick person, remember? My wife always reminds me of that. She says, because when a person's sick, they go to their mother. So you remember that way, right? So we always go to the mother. That's the way to remember it. So I think when you visit a person and they're in front of you, you don't have to mention their name because they're right there. And the Shekhinah is with them, we said yesterday, remember? Hashem's presence, we learned from Avraham Avinu, the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence is with the sick person. Right. And it makes you feel good when you know someone schlepped, right, through Manhattan or from Muncie to Brooklyn, which could be like a 3-hour journey in traffic, ready to shoot yourself. Just the fact they schlepped there for you, they care, it makes you feel better. You know, just the presence of the person does that for you, you know. So the Maharal says that when you pray for someone without seeing them, you don't feel, you know, okay, it's just another name. Nowadays I get, you know, 10 emails a day of sick people. So sometimes you try to say, oh, tefillah for them, pray for them, sometimes you don't. But if they're there in front of you, your mercy will be aroused and you'll have more kavanah, you'll have more intention when you pray for them. You know? And it could be something as simple as, Hashem should give you a refuah shleima. That, by the way, is a prayer. It doesn't have like a whole service. Like, you have to stand there like in cantorial robes with a big conical hat on. You have to do that, you know what I'm saying? You're kind of pretty amusing if you heard of that. It's just a simple, it's a few words. A few words. Yeah. And then if you have to be very sick, even like a cold. Like in our generation, a cold is like the end of the world. And people talk, oh yeah, I got a cold, that's it, it's all over. I'm dead, me, I'm like that. I'm like that. I have a cold, I'm like, I might as well be dead. My wife's got a cold, like every day she's still doing, her day is exactly the same. There isn't an ounce of change. Doing everything she has to do. Exactly. I've got to call him like, don't talk to me. Keep the kids away from me. I have to lie down for days to get over my runny nose. Yeah, sorry, what was that, Karen?
I actually read an article. There was like a scientific study that guys they complain more when they get sick.
Oh, there's not even a doubt about it. Not even a doubt about it. We need sympathy. It's our mother's fault, I think. They give us too much sympathy. Our little bubbler, you know? My little bubble is ill, and they bring us chicken soup and their milk and all the rest of it, you know. By the way, there is a Rambam that says the chicken soup, the broth of chicken, says the Rambam, has properties that cure illnesses like colds. And they're doing a lot of study there into now. They're saying that there's an ingredient inside the broth of chicken. You shouldn't get anything else, which gives a certain healing and hurries up the mucus process. So when I get sick, I'm like downing chicken soup. I'm eating raw garlic. I really am. I'm like, my wife is like, get away from me, you stink. She's like, oh my God. What you do is you cut it up very, very finely, put a little bit of honey on it, just to get rid of the sharpness, and you eat it. You smell like a piece of garlic for like a couple of days, because it comes out of your pores. It oozes out of you. And then I make my wife take a whole head of garlic, and she roasts it in the oven. You ever do that? Top the top up, you're like, oh, that's the best. That's not so smelly then. You smear it on the challah. Mm. Delicious. Great. Health tips from Rabbi Hegio. Okay, fantastic. Okay, let's finish off the section. So that's a very important part of it. You pray for the person, you see them, okay? And finally, 60th. Where does that come? That's the Gemara as well. And Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina says, next page, you've removed a 60th of their tzar, of their pain. A 60th of their pain is what the Gemara says. And Abai said to Rava, oh, this is the Gemara, if this is so, this is my question, let 60 people go visit them. And he says, no, each subsequent person that arrives is a 60th of what was there beforehand. Yeah? Interesting, the Ran actually says that's only when that person is from the same mazal, the same zodiac.
As you?
Do we believe in
that?
Do we believe in that?
Oh, sure we do. That's what mazal tov means. What does mazal tov mean? Good luck? No. Good luck is not a Jewish idea. How offensive would that be? Right? So, oh, you just had a baby? Oh, good luck with that. Mazal tov. Oh, you're just getting married? Oh, mazal tov. Yeah, good luck, because men, they're crazy. Right? No. That's like, no. Mazal, there's actually two that I've heard. One is from the word nizul. What's nizul? What's a nizila? A runny nose. A runny nose, right? So flow. They say mazal, the thing should flow nicely for you. That's one. They should just flow and not get, you know. The other is mazal comes from the constellations. Right? Different things happen at different times. And we say the mazalot, the constellations, should be the right place when this happens. Right? You say mazal tov, it should be at a good time. At the right, although we're above the mazal, it's a different question. But the mazal that a person's born in has impact upon the person.
Do we believe in the same ones of the Chinese?
No. Not at all. We follow the... If you're interested in reading this, in fact, one of my chavrutas on Yeshiva, his father, Rabbi Glazerson, Matisyahu Glazerson, has written a number of books on them. We don't use it to tell the future. We do it to understand various parts of our personalities, people born under certain star signs. Right, some people who are, you know, what? This month actually my birthday month.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's a Shvat, Dli.
Dli.
It's actually a bucket, the water carrier.
So if you're Aquarius. Months like that, like, stuff
what? So there's something about the first of all, there's an energy in the month. That's really what it's about. For example, Pesach is in Nisan. In Nisan, it's Aries.
Shul?
Aries, no.
Sure.
Aries, not the ox. Not the ox. It's the ram. The ram, Aries, is Nisan. Why? The Korban Pesach. It comes from Judaism.
What?
Sure. Where do you think it comes from? Yeah. What is Adar? What is Adar? Adar is the fish that dug in both ways. The whole Purim story, the double up. I give a whole class on that.
Why?
You go to oh, here's the clearest one. When's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is... scales, right? Scales, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Right, that's the month everything's being weighed. All our sins are being weighed. It comes to Judaism. You go to synagogue. I was in Krakow this past summer. Those synagogues there, they have paintings of the wall. They actually have to redo them a little bit from hundreds of years ago, which have all the astrological signs all over the walls. There's a mosaic in that older shul, one of those old shuls in Eretz Yisrael, the constellations, the mazalot on the floor. Sure. There's a lot on this. Yep. Rashi mentions it on Chumash. Right. Avram Avinu says, how will I have a child? He's saying, the mazalot, I'm not going to have a child. He says, no, that's Avram. You're talking about Avraham? And they took him above the stars, says Rashi. He took you above the stars and says, you're a lamalam, you're above the stars. The Jewish people have the ability to act above the mazalot, but not affected by them directly. If we don't want to be, we have a direct connection to Hashem. There are other nations that are affected by the various mazalot that come into this world. But these are Jewish things. Yes. Oh, you mean in terms of marriage and very, yeah. Okay, so there, 100%. Compatibility comes in every case, right? That's different personalities. Yeah, it's not. Okay. All right, that's good enough. We shall stop over there. Have a Shabbat Shalom. We'll pick this up, God willing, on Monday morning. Have a great day.